Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Why don't you
hold to His hand? To God's unchanging hand.
You better hold
to His hand. To God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling.
My brother,
hold to His hand, to God's unchanging hand.
My sister,
hold to His hand, to God's unchanging hand.
Church, you gotta
build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view.
Come on, let's
hold to His hand, to God's unchanging hand.
We gotta hold
to His hand, to God's unchanging hand.
You gotta
build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
One more time, let's
hold to His hand, to God's unchanging hand.
You gotta hold
to His hand, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Welcome to the Word of Life. Again, as we usually do, I welcome you to the program. I hope you've got your Bible where you can study. We're going to be in the Gospel of John. If you're a regular listener of the Word of Life, you should have done your homework by now. You should have already read the Gospel of John chapter 1 and chapter 3 with an eye toward what John the Baptist was involved in these chapters. Remember that last Lord's Day we studied out of Luke chapter 7 and talked about the event that took place after Jesus had raised the dead son of the widow of Nain in Luke chapter 7 beginning in verse 11. We talked about that event and how that apparently prompted some of John's disciples to go to John while he was in prison, John the Baptist, while he was in prison, and report to him the various things that Jesus was doing. John's response was that he sent two of his disciples to Jesus with these questions: are you the expected one, or are we looking for someone else? Now, it comes across as one question, but it's actually two. And we talked about the event itself of those men approaching Jesus and asking him, and Jesus not giving a yes or no answer. Jesus just simply, after a day's worth of teaching and healing and all the various things that were happening, Jesus simply said to them, "You go and tell John what you see." And he quoted Isaiah to back up what he was saying. And they went back to John. Now, there's more to the event of that day, by the way, that incident that was talked about. We didn't delve into, and we won't right now. What we will do is see if we can figure out, did John know who Jesus was? Did he not understand what happened at the baptism of Jesus? Remember, we had referenced that in our study in the first segment of the program last Lord's Day. We talked about the fact that when Jesus was baptized, finally convincing John, and I can understand this, but finally convincing John to baptize him, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and the voice from the heavens spoke, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Was John really ignorant of who Jesus was? Is that why John, in Luke chapter 7, sent two of his disciples with the question, "Are you the one?" Did John not know, or is something else going on? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, where your assignment began, we see in the verses 6 through 8 just a short statement about John the Baptist and his place in relation to Jesus. We read these words in John 1, verses 6 through 8. "There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light." Now, we have studied already some of the prophecies that prescribed that John would come and what John would be doing. We have seen that this was a role that God had given him. And what verses 6 through 8 tell us in the Gospel of John chapter 1 are not unfamiliar territory for us. Jesus is involved in his ministry after John comes and, so to speak, warms up the audience. Now, you wouldn't think that Jesus would need somebody to open the show for him, but the plan of God was that John's work, if you look there in verses 6 through 8, was to testify, to talk about Jesus, to bear witness to who Jesus was. Did John do that? Did John understand who Jesus was? How could you testify and bear witness about somebody unless you knew who that person was? We skip down in John chapter 1 to verse 19. And I want you to read with me from verse 19 to verse 23. Listen to the statement of Scripture, again about an incident that took place during the ministry of John the Baptist. "This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?'" You remember in Luke chapter 7, it was John that sent the disciples asking Jesus, "Who are you?" Here it's the Pharisees, the scribes of Jerusalem, coming to John and asking him that question. Now, John the Apostle, writing this, informs us of this situation. In verse 20, "John the Baptist confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" Verse 21, "They asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' And he said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' Verse 23, he said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet has said.'" Now, that's a quote from Isaiah chapter 40. There are four places in the book of Isaiah that talk about the suffering servant of Israel, that is, the Messiah to come. And this is one of those places. Now, as we look here, we see that John is questioned and John denies being the Christ. Do you think that that was a valid answer on John's part? Was he telling the truth? Is John the one that at Jesus' baptism that the Spirit descended upon and remained upon him? Well, you know the answer to that, don't you? Is John the one that the voice from heaven spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased"? Well, you know the answer there too. It wasn't John that the heavens were speaking about. It wasn't John that the Spirit was descending upon. It was Jesus. And John is very quick to admit to these people, to testify to them, if you will, that "I am not the Christ." We pick up in verse 24 and read down to verse 28, and we see the rest of the event of that day. Listen again to the statement of Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 24. "Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, 'Why then are you baptizing, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie.' These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, that's a little bit to the east of Jerusalem and down the hill across the Jordan. If you remember the story of the Old Testament, this is the same Jordan River that God brought the Israelites across in the book of Joshua. You remember the event? How God caused the waters to pile up at a little place called Adam, when the priest of Israel stepped into the water with the Ark of the Covenant. All of the soldiers crossed over on dry ground, and they approached a place called Jericho. You might remember some of that story. Well, the Jordan, the same river, a very muddy river by the testimony of Naaman, remember, in 2 Kings chapter 5, who wouldn't dip into that river because the rivers of Damascus are much better. You remember how Naaman finally did, and the leprosy that stuck to him was removed. All of these things point out that this is a very historical place. When John says in verse 28, these things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing, he's not referring to a place that people don't know. He's referring to a place that people do know, that they are very familiar with. And so what we have here is an event that took place historically at a certain point. And John's telling his readers, John the Apostle, is telling his readers that John the Baptist was involved in the lives of these people at that time in that place. Look at what happened that day. As the story continued that we began in verse 19, verse 24 reminds us that these who were questioning John had been sent from the Pharisees. Now, that's not a bad thing necessarily. Pharisees have got a bad rap in people that are religious because they think that all the Pharisees were concerned about was just, quote unquote, the letter of the law. Is there anything wrong with obeying God? You see, Jesus never condemned them for holding on to the law. He condemned the Pharisees for putting their tradition in an equal position with the law. So never let anybody make you back down from doing what God says. It's always right to do what God says. These people had come to question John. We saw some of the initial questions. Verse 25, they're trying to draw a conclusion here. They ask him and spoke to him, "Why then are you baptizing? If you're not the Christ, we ask you that, nor Elijah, we ask you that, nor the prophet, we ask you that." And so I can see the basis of their question. I hope you can too. What in the world are you doing if you're not somebody special from God? Well, John goes on to detail just exactly what his position is. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. We read them a while ago, but look at what's said. Verse 26, John gives an answer. "I'm baptizing in water, but there's someone among you that you don't know." Now, that doesn't sound like too big of a statement until you think about something that, again, the prophet Isaiah said more than seven centuries before. In Isaiah chapter 53, the statement is made that he has no stately form or majesty that we should see him. In other words, you've seen the pictures of Jesus, I'm sure, that artists have painted, where he's the guy in the white outfit in the middle, real pale, real pretty long hair, and he's got this halo around his head. Now, I understand why they would do that, but you understand that that's as anti-biblical as a picture of Jesus as you can get. Because nobody then would see a halo on his head. Nobody then would see him as being the one pure among the rest of them. You wouldn't notice that. There was nothing about him. He wasn't the best looking guy on the block. He didn't avoid getting sick when everybody else caught the flu, things like that. This Jesus was somebody that they didn't know. That's what John says in verse 26. "Among you stands one whom you do not know." Now, verse 27, John goes on to say, "It's he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie." Now, this points out that John had some awareness of who Jesus was, and I want you to understand that. In our next section of study, we're going to see that John had had interaction with Jesus already and had a very real reason to understand who he was. But right now, I want you just to realize that what John is saying here in verse 26 and 27 is, "I've got a place, but Jesus has a bigger place." John said this at a place that these people know. In a few moments, we'll consider the events as they continue. Right now, let's listen to a song.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence to my knees, or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees, or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine, yeah, yeah, yeah. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees, or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah?
It's not often in the gospel accounts that we get day-by-day accounts of the things going on. The ministry of Jesus covered in the gospels takes in a span over 3 years, and most of the gospel accounts concern the last week or 2 weeks of the life of Jesus, with a very fast-painted picture of all the other events of Jesus' ministry. But we notice in John chapter 1, verse 29, where we are continuing to look at this series of events in John's life, and we notice there that the statement begins with "the next day." So one day these people came to question John. John was answering their questions. He was talking about the one among them that they don't know. Now we pick up at verse 29 of John chapter 1. "The next day John saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.' This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified in verse 32, saying, I have seen the Spirit of God descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Now, I want you to think history-wise and chronology-wise in the life of John for just a moment. Do you believe that this event, verse 29 through 34, took place before or after John was thrown into prison? Now, it's not rocket science here. This is a really easy question. It had to take place before, because once John was thrown into prison, the next thing that happened in John's life was the end of his life, when Herod had him beheaded at the request of his wife. So what this is something that happened before that time of his imprisonment. Now, if you remember last Lord's Day in our study of Luke chapter 7, we had talked about the fact that John was in prison and sent his disciples to ask Jesus a question. So the importance of verse 29 and following is that this is a statement made before John was in prison. So this is something John knew while he was in prison. If John was sure at this point, if we can determine from this statement that John was sure at this point of who Jesus was, then he would have known when he sent those disciples. Look with me at the verses. The next day, that is the day after John was questioned by those from Jerusalem, he sees Jesus coming, and John begins to talk about him. He says in verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, that could be a whole month of Sundays to study right there. We could look at the various parts of this. Behold, the Lamb of God, he takes away sin, the sin of the world. We could stretch that out into a long study. But what John did was this, was he looked at Jesus and he said, you look at him. That's who this is. In verse 30, he says, this is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man with a higher rank, he existed before me. Now, do you understand the power of what John said there? Jesus has a higher rank. Now notice, for he existed before me. John had a definite point of beginning. Jesus is God in flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't have a beginning by definition. We know that Jesus was different. So did John. Look at verse 31. I did not recognize him. So there was a time that John didn't know him. But in verse 31, John continues, so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. First, John addresses his role. His role in relation to Jesus is just like the town crier, the guy that walks around ringing the bell saying, hear ye, listen to what I'm saying. That's John's relationship to Jesus. Look at verse 32. I've seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. Now that might or might not be significant until you see what verse 33 says. The one who sent John to baptize, which would be the Father. The Father told John, when you see this happen, the Spirit descending, remaining upon him, that's the one. You remember when we talked about the baptism of Jesus, Jesus convincing John to baptize him, John baptizes him, Jesus comes up out of the water praying. The Spirit of God descends upon him. The voice from heaven speaks. That's what John's talking about here. He knew from that point who Jesus was. That's why in verse 29, John sees Jesus coming. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." How could John not know who Jesus was? Look at verse 34. "I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." What a statement. In a few moments, we'll continue. Now let's listen to a song. What we have seen then draws us toward the conclusion, the summary statement, that John knows who Jesus is before he is put in prison. There is no reason to take the text of Scripture here any other way. In fact, we begin to see something that our study is going to focus on next Lord's Day when we read verse 35, 36, and 37. In John chapter 1, read with me those precious verses that tell us about the third day in this incident. Remember, there was the day of questioning. The next day, Jesus is seen coming by John. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The next day, verse 35. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. He looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, I said that that's where our study is going to begin next Lord's Day. And I want you to understand the importance of what just happened right there. John was a forerunner of Jesus. He's not fit to untie his sandals. You remember the statements John made. "After me comes one who is greater than me, for he existed before me." All these things said come down to these verses, these three verses. John sees Jesus coming the third day. "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples hear him speak, and they follow Jesus. I want you to understand the importance of that in relation to you and I and John the Baptist. When we speak about Jesus, sometimes we're so concerned with being acceptable in the eyes of people, when all that really needs to happen is that people hear us speak and they follow Jesus. Forget me, forget anybody else, and follow Jesus. You join us next week on the Word of Life. We'll begin our study there and go into the statement of the Gospel of John chapter 3. God bless you through this week. You'll be in my prayers.